All right, I think we are recording. All right, well, good morning, everyone. This is a little different look than probably what you're all used to. Kurt is a good friend of mine. Kurt pastors a church all the way out in Nebraska. And maybe some of you who have been at Awaken before, you recognize Kurt. He came, he spoke a few times when he was living in Jersey. And now he moved his whole family to Nebraska, what's it, about two and a half years ago now?
Yeah, about 2.5 years.
So here's one of the fun things about Kurt and myself. We would get together probably about once a month in New Jersey at the Palisades Mall. We would have lunch. We would talk ministry together. And I'm still upset that Kurt had to go and leave. I miss those lunches. But I thought it would be fun just for us to get together, jump on this, record this conversation. I have a couple of questions for Kurt. I think Kurt has a few questions for me. And one of the things that we said to each other was that we weren't going to let each other know the questions before we started recording the video. So everything is totally new to us. It's a complete surprise. And for the Awaken family, I'm so glad that you get a chance to meet Kurt Leininger.
Hey, thanks, Dave. And to all my friends at Mosaic, this is my good friend, Dave Stradling. And Dave and his family, his wife, Stephanie, and their two young kids live just outside of New York City. And I believe it's Westchester County. Is that right?
That is.
Yeah. So, yeah, Dave and I, man, I think we met probably, gosh, was it 7-8 years ago, maybe?
And I was trying to think. Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah. So, yeah, those lunches are definitely some highlights, man. I miss those times. But since moving out here, it's good anytime we can chat on the phone and catch up and just hear what's going on in life and ministry. And that's a beautiful thing. So, Mosaic, you know, what I want you to know about Dave is, so Dave's community that he pastors called Awaken. I think that's just a picture of Dave's heart. And Dave's heart is just to see people awaken to the reality of God, the goodness of God, the grace of God, and just his presence at work around us in all places, in all kinds of ways. So I'm excited to have this conversation just for us as a community here in Nebraska to get to hear what's going on and really obviously, you know, the hottest zone in America right now, you know, you guys being just outside the city, but also just to hear, Dave, what's going on in your heart as you wrestle with this stuff. So yeah, it's good. I'm glad we can have the space together.
Me too. So how should we start this? Do you want to throw your questions out? You have a question. I know when we were texting back and forth a little bit last week, you said there were a few things that you did want to talk about, especially about New York and obviously being a hot spot. Do you want to start there?
Yeah. Why don't you tell us a little bit, Dave? I'd love to hear just kind of, you know, I mean, you guys being right outside of the city, I mean, you know, I think we still feel somewhat removed out here. You know, I think in our city alone of just under 300,000 people, we've maybe got like 60 or so cases. You know, I think we've had maybe 18 deaths in the state. Pales in comparison, but how do you guys as New Yorkers wrestle with all of that? Like, what are just a lot of the big thoughts and big things that are weighing on you guys right now?
Yeah. Well, you know, obviously I'm sure you see the news, you've been seeing it for a while, and I'm not sure how long you guys have been locked down for, but we've been pretty much in lockdown now for, I think it's been just about a month, maybe over a month. I think everything was sort of shut down the middle of March. So it's been about a month now. We haven't held church services I've recorded 5 video sermons. So it's been 5 weeks. I guess this will be the 6th week. So yeah, we're just trying to figure out what does life look like for us? How do we shelter in place? How do we stay safe? And then sort of navigating all the complexities of that one. And you know, everyone's got their own particular response to what's going on. There's some people, well, a lot of people around here do commute back and forth to Manhattan, or at least they used to. And so obviously that's not going on right now. And again, I think it's been about a month since the whole commute has started. But honestly, one of the the first hotspot in the United States was actually in Westchester. It was in New Rochelle, which is about 20 minutes from where we live. And that, man, that town spiked. And I remember there was a containment zone that was put just around, I guess it's a city, the city of New Rochelle, beginning of March. And it was at that point when you're realizing, wow, like this thing is real. And this was before we were even working from home. We had to self-quarantine. And I think up till that point, everything sort of felt a bit foreign, right? It was sort of surreal. It was like a movie. And then all of a sudden you're finding out that the city within 15, 20 minutes of where you live, there's a containment zone around it and all the businesses there are shut down. You're thinking, wow, this really could become something. And then ever since there, it's been this gradual movement towards where we find ourselves today. And you see the numbers every single day. You know, the sad part about it is pretty much every single person here knows someone who has become sickened from the virus or who has passed away from the virus as well. And you really can't go anywhere. You know, I'll be outside of my front yard and all the neighbors are walking, right? I mean, what else can we do? So we try to get outside as much as we can, socially distancing ourselves, of course. But neighbors will stop and we'll just start talking and they'll say, hey, this person, they got sick. You know, I know this person, they passed away. So it really hits home for all of us because we're not removed from it. You know, we're right in the middle of it. And it's friends, it's family who are, you know, getting the virus and getting really sick from it. And that plays on your psyche, you know?
So Dave, I'm curious, you know, living, you know, in that place right now where everything is so hot and where everybody knows somebody. And I mean, I think, you know, even here, there's the reality that, okay, I step out and, you know, once a week, my family and I would go to the grocery store and like, yeah, the reality is this virus could be here, you know, and like we're wearing face masks now, at least starting this past week when we go to the grocery store once a week. But I mean, obviously the pervasiveness of it is even so much more intense where you're at. So I'm kind of curious, like as a Christian, here's a question I have for you. You know, obviously, like we know God isn't just some charm that we can put around our neck, you know, that's going to protect us from getting this, you know. So as a Christian, how are you just living in that reality, you know, like realizing that, okay, you know, there are some basic necessities. I mean, you have two young kids, you know, I'm sure you have to go to the store every now and then. Like, how are you just trusting God in the midst of even when you have to step outside, when everything is that pervasive around you with that virus right now? Like what's going on in your heart and mind?
Yeah. You know, so I think initially there was the whole, I mean, there are still all these unknowns to how serious this was, you know, how pervasive is it, you know, how catchable is it? And then you start hearing about, you know, people that were getting it and people who were getting more sick, people who had underlying respiratory issues. So my wife has, you know, pretty severe asthma. So that was definitely in the beginning. And having, like you said, two young kids, we have a 6-month-old. So having a really young girl at home and a wife who has respiratory illness with asthma, you know, there was a bit of that, like you were feeling it, you know, you really were feeling that initially. And right away, I think that was pretty much the first or second sermon I gave was this whole idea of, and I mean, all the sermons over the past couple of weeks have all been what I'm wrestling through, right? You know, how is this affecting me? And as a Christian, as a, you know, a follower of Jesus, what does it mean for me? And I'm hoping to shed some light on that for other people as well. It was really, well, how do I allow God to enter into all of that? So yeah, there was some fear, some anxiety. So how do you allow the two to sit side by side? How do you trust in the midst of fear? How do you trust in the midst of feeling your blood start to pump a little faster every time that you do have to go out to the grocery store? And when that person walks way too close to you and they don't have a face mask, you know? So I think in all of it, it's learning to trust God with every single emotion and feeling and every single part of it, because, you know, to me, that's what it means to follow Jesus, It means allowing it all to sit there, not to be overwhelmed by a fear or a particular emotion, but to allow it to be there, to be okay with it, and learning to trust God through that as well. So that's been a big thing for me, right? I mean, that's been it's definitely a growth thing for me. You know, I mean, this is it's like one of the biggest things that we're having to face, you know, a big health crisis, and it's not a normal occurrence. It doesn't happen all the time. So it's those moments when things do get thrown upside down and life's disrupted that you learn what it means to trust God in even deeper ways.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. I hear you. And, I definitely can live with that, sense of just allowing God to be present, even in the midst of all of those things that you're feeling and, you know, the emotions that are there and, you know, the anxieties that are real and the questions that are real. And I found myself using that phrase a lot, just allowing those things to coexist together, you know, that God's presence is coexisting there in the midst of all of that, you know, and, not letting them try to push, you know, the other one out, but just realizing like it all belongs, it all has a place. God is present there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely, you know, you hear about it, right? It's often an intellectual idea until you're actually forced to then walk through it. And, you know, it's a total different ballgame when you're forced to walk through it. You can't just, you know, it's one thing, you know, as a preacher, you can talk about it and then it becomes reality in your life and you have to learn to navigate it yourself.
That's it. Yeah. How about me? You got a question for me, Dave?
I do. Well, I guess, all right, let's start with this one. So what have you been doing to stay healthy during this time? And by health, I don't mean just physically healthy, but I mean spiritually, socially, as a family. What are some rhythms that you've been engaging in to stay healthy?
Yeah, that's, you know, I think we're still on the learning curve there of trying to figure out exactly what that's going to look like. But let me speak, you know, for us as a family, you know, we're all over the place in our family. I mean, I've got a son who's in college, who's at home taking, you know, everything's online, you know, he's here at home taking his classes still. He's working at a library where it's the public library and people aren't allowed to go into the library, but he's still there with a few coworkers, just taking care of a few tasks here and there. You know, I have a daughter who's graduating high school this year, and obviously her senior year looks very different. No prom, no graduation. So she's, you know, wrestling with that, just looking so very different. You know, a 10-year-old who is on the spectrum and now having to do everything at home, and transitions are difficult for her. You know, my wife and I both now, you know, just schedules looking drastically different, you know, doing the vast majority of work at home. So we've tried to just really discover ways that we can just give each other grace in the midst of whatever we're feeling. You know, I think that's one of the rhythms that we've tried to enter into, is just this rhythm of how much grace can we extend one another in the moments of a day. And then coming together, you know, like it's been good because the dinner table at night has been a priority of like really just gathering around that dinner table. We joke our kids, you know, so they call it, you know, the Jesus candle. We light a candle in the middle of the table, and it's really just a tangible symbol for us to be made aware that God is present with us at that table, and debriefing our day, debriefing, you know, our emotions of the day, things that we were engaged in throughout the day, the good, the bad, the ugly. That's been a really good, healthy rhythm for us. Getting outside and you know, just taking walks and you know, getting some fresh air. That's been a very good thing. I know for me personally, one of the rhythms that I'm really trying to establish in my own life too is just creating space for boredom and silence. And almost a space where it's like, okay, God, I'm just going to sit here with you and I'm not going to say much. But I might say something every now and then, whether it's verbally or just something I say in my heart. Yeah. And then I'm going to listen for how you might respond. So I'm trying to create, you know, these just long kind of drawn out spaces of silence, and realizing that, you know, in a lot of ways it all feels like we're walking in a wilderness that we're not familiar with. And I think if there's anything that is present in a wilderness, it's silence. You know, the usual noise is gone. The normal distractions that we have, you know, they're not there. And so, you know, rather than trying to fill all the empty space with streaming or this or that, you know, like, okay, how can I really engage in just some boredom and silence and just sit in that space and share my feelings with God and listen for God. Now that I've shared that with you, what might you want to share with me? And, you know, certain affirmations might come across. There might be certain scriptures that come to mind. You know, maybe scriptures that I already have in my head and heart, or, you know, it's like, oh, wait, what about that? I think that's maybe found in Philippians. Let me go hunt for that, you know?
Yeah.
So that's been a good rhythm for me. Yeah.
So you're allowing yourself to lean into the uncomfortableness of the whole thing.
Yeah. I think, you know, I've just realized I have to do that, you know, just to lean into just the quiet, the mundane, the boredom of it, and realizing like, okay, this is a unique season and I believe that God wants to work here. And so not going to try to push it away all the time, but we'll try to welcome it. And
see, I think what you just said, I think that's so brilliant, because the invitation that God wants to work during this time, right? I mean, for a lot of us, it's a nuisance. It's a major disruption. It's something that we want to just wish away. But if we, as you're doing, right, sitting with the time, however uncomfortable it might be, however much of a nuisance or however boring it might seem to be, and we allow ourselves to sit in it, yeah, how do you see God's presence through it? Well, what is it that God is? You know, I think there's a couple of things, right? Not that God's the one who orchestrated what's going on, but every moment is an invitation. And I think that it's so beautiful, the fact that you're just sitting there and you're allowing yourself, you're opening yourself up to, okay, this is my reality. Can't fight it. That's just going to bring a whole bunch of heartache. So let me just sit in it and see, all right, what's the invitation for me at this moment? Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, that's definitely a good summary of it. You know, it's just not fighting it, because if I try to fight it in my own strength, forget it. I'm just going to wear myself out, beat myself up. And so, yeah, how do I instead realize, all right, God, you're present here. You know, not that you're causing any of this, but, you know, you're no stranger to these kind of wilderness situations. So I'm going to sit within it and trust that there's something that you have for me.
And I would guess that that's actually giving you more grace for yourself and for your family and everyone else.
Yeah, definitely. And it's, you know, it doesn't cure everything. It's not an instant, you know, feel better kind of.
Right, right.
None of that. But there is definitely a sense of a level of just peace.
Yeah.
That is granted, you know, and I think that's that peace that goes beyond understanding, you know, that Christ brings. So. That's been the gift in all of it, is just that gift of peace that is extended.
That's good. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. So Dave, I'm kind of curious, you know, Easter.
Yep.
It was here.
It was.
It still is here, you know, yes. Like,
yeah.
And I've come to this, you know, awareness of how, you know, we in our culture, you know, we love to celebrate the next big event, you know, that comes, and then we move on from it. But I get the sense that, you know, Easter isn't just this one day event that we can celebrate this year. Like, it's a reality that's still very much present with us, you know? So what do you think Easter being still here in our midst, what do you think she wants to reveal to us? What do you think she's ushering us into in the midst of these days?
All right. So like I said, right, for everyone who's watching this, listening to this, we didn't plan this at all. We said, let's just come up with questions. That question you just asked, so I've been thinking about it all morning, right? Like, no joke. And a lot of the questions that I have here for you have to do, I think, with the very same idea, because you're right. And you know, it's so funny. A couple of years back, the week after Easter, like that Tuesday or Wednesday, I was out at a CVS and all of the plastic eggs were, I think, buy one, get one 50% off. And all the Easter candy, all the Easter stuff, it was like, get it off our shelves. Let's get to the next big event. So I remember I bought up a whole bunch of eggs because I had this brilliant idea for a sermon that I never did. So all the eggs have been sitting in my closet now, which my wife gets very upset because I buy these things thinking it's going to be for a sermon. But it was the whole idea that, you're right, we have Easter, we have Resurrection Sunday, and then all of a sudden it's like life is back to normal again. Like, we celebrated resurrection, that's great, let's forget about it until next year. But you're right, it's so much more than that. It's a lived reality. I mean, if you think about the first followers of Jesus, resurrection literally changed everything about how they live their lives. And what I couldn't stop thinking about this morning was in Acts, it talks about how all the followers of Jesus, they shared things in common. No one was hungry. So it had to do for them about how they organize their world. And I think one of the invitations right now for us, we're in this, our governor is calling this a moment of pause. And then I think, I forget what he's going to call it, resume, or once we kind of get back or start progressing towards a more normal. But one of the lingering questions, I think, and I think this is for all of us, I think it's a question the church should be asking, but I think we're all going to be asking this question now, is how do we best organize ourselves? I think a lot of things have been exposed, a lot of particular ways of living, a lot of beliefs that we've held, ways in which we've structured, whether it's our churches, our society, our shared lives together, we're realizing it's not working because some people are being left behind in this whole pandemic that we're facing. You know, we're seeing it. There's a split of some of us have the luxury of working from home while others, well, can't work from home. And so they're not making money right now. They don't have an income and they're really feeling the financial weight of this. So I think when we talk about resurrection and we talk about what that means for us, how do we actually go and live this out? How do we ensure, as followers of Jesus, how do we ensure that no one's hungry, that everyone has their bills paid, that everyone has shelter and heat and clothing and education, and everyone has the basic necessities that we all need to survive? And, you know, I was thinking this morning just about this, you know, what happens is when resurrection becomes simply an intellectual truth, and you either you believe it or you don't, but it ends there, it goes against everything that resurrection is, because it's a belief that should change how you actually go and live your lives. And I think too often resurrection, it simply becomes just this intellectual belief, and then it doesn't have the transformative power that I believe Jesus desires for it to have in our lives. So yeah, I think it changes everything. And I think it changes how we re-engage life once we can kind of get back into our normal routines, if there is a normal after this, right? I mean, that's another question. What does normal look like after all this is over?
Yeah. I hear you saying how resurrection, in a lot of ways, it definitely is a real catalyst to all of us realizing our connection to one another.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Jesus obviously leading us into this whole new reality of this human family in himself that he is creating, you know, and I think that's been one of the beautiful things that I've seen here in our area, not only in our church, but around our city, is just like people interacting with each other and taking care of each other in ways that are really beautiful.
Yeah.
And there's a part of me that's like, oh man, I don't want this to end. Like, I don't want that to end. And if I don't want that to end, I don't want us to go back to just a normal. But like, how do we allow that catalyzing movement of the resurrection, you know, this new human family taking care of each other, you know, because of how Christ has taken care of us? Like, how do we keep the momentum of all of that and keep that moving forward.
Yeah. Well, that, so one of the questions I have for you, so relating to all of this, would be how do you think this will change the landscape of the church? Because I think church will look different moving forward. I mean, so how do you think this will change the church? Do you think it will change it for the better in that we're going to realize more of that interconnectedness, more of our true humanity, the humanity that Christ leads us into, will move us in that direction? Or, I mean, could it have the potential to take us away from that one?
You know, sometimes I get really excited about the potential changes when I think about them. And other times I get a little nervous, you know, and so here's a couple of things that I'm sitting with is, well, number one, I think I know I've heard so many people, at least in our context, say things like, man, I just miss seeing you on that first morning of the week on Sunday morning, you know, and seeing my community and seeing my people and singing songs together and giving hugs and just the smiles, you know, you know, in our context, you know, we walk up and take communion each week and like responding to God's goodness and grace in that kind of way. And so I think in some ways, one of the beautiful changes is we're realizing how all of those familiar things that can be so easy to take for granted, we're having this newfound appreciation of, wow, just how deeply meaningful those things are. You know, just to be able to say hello to each other on that first morning of the week on a Sunday morning and hug each other and you know, give those high fives and say, keep on going and sing a song together and all that kind of stuff. I love that. And I know that that's one thing that I hope is that we just have a new appreciation for these simple things that carry such profound value to our lives. You know, at the same time, like it's hard. I think all of us, you know, you look around and, you know, we see how churches are responding, and in some ways there's a real convenience just to soaking in all kinds of Christian material that's put out there for us, you know, online and all kinds of other places, you know? So I hope that we don't allow ourselves to drift into just kind of an isolated Christian consuming, you know, kind of mentality where, okay, I'll just actually, maybe this isn't so bad just being a Christian by myself. You know, there's all kinds of content out I can take in out here, you know? So I think there's definitely a sense of there's times in the Christian life that are very isolating and lonely, and it's you and God.
Yep.
And I think that that's something to lean into right now in this time.
Sure.
But I hope that I hope that we don't take that too far, you know, because I hope that we are at the same time discovering how do we keep realizing that ultimately being a Christian isn't just an individual thing, that it's a family thing, it's a humanity thing. And so how do we keep looking for those opportunities to really do this together?
Yeah. You know, it's,
so I find myself.
No, keep going.
No, I find myself just sitting with those, you know, and kind of being in that tension right now of just, how do we keep those things in balance and make sure that we don't go too far in one way?
Yeah. You know, so that reminds me, there's a, you like Thomas Merton, right?
Yeah.
I'm forgetting the exact quote, but it's something along the lines of beware the person who can't be alone by themselves and beware the person who can't be with a community. And it's striking the balance between both of those, of having your own individual pursuit of God, time with God, but it's also seeking God together with a community, realizing that the spiritual life isn't just an individual pursuit. It's a component of it, but it also has a communal aspect to it as well. And I saw there was a post I saw on social media last week, and someone was suggesting, I guess they were consuming a lot of the church online content right now, and they were suggesting, you know, why don't we just have a church that is solely online, and then all of the money can be raised for, you know, helping community needs in the area. Well, that's a good idea, right? I mean, of course we should be involved with helping some of the real needs that exist within our communities, but that idea was missing one of the vital components of what church is, the gathering together, the meeting together. And you're right. You know, I mean, if it's so easy to be your own siloed Christian, you can get the best, you can get whichever preacher you want. You can get the best live worship on YouTube. You can get it all. But is that really the realness that I think we truly long for deep down in our hearts, if we're really being honest? You know, there's something about the messiness of doing it together with others.
I love you drawing us to that, what Thomas Merton said there too. You know, you got to love a Trappist monk who can put it so well. Because I think that goes back to even what we talked about at the beginning, in the sense of allowing things to coexist together. You know, that, okay, there is this danger that's around us. It's a real lurking danger in chaos. And, you know, we were wrestling with some of this even at Mosaic when all of this kind of broke. We were going to dive into the book of Ruth, and the story of Ruth is this perilous journey that Ruth and Naomi find themselves on. But as they learn to lean into each other's lives, they discover that God is present there working in ways that they didn't even fully know and understand yet, you know, but God is working at, but, you know, they had to just lean into each other's lives. And so allowing kind of, you know, the danger, but yet trust in God to coexist together. But then here on this end, like, you know, the future of the church, realizing that, yeah, you know, like being a Christian is, in a lot of ways, it's an individual thing. You know, God, there's things that God is doing in our lives as individuals, and learning how to be alone with myself, but realizing that I can't stay there either, that that has to coexist also with a community of people. Yeah. So I kind of love what this season is doing, and I'm really looking forward to see, like, how will this impact and affect the church for years to come?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, it'll be really interesting to see how it all plays out.
Yeah. Especially because we have no idea how much longer we're going to be in this mode of doing life for. And, you know, the longer it goes on, who knows which direction it'll move us in.
Yeah. Yeah. So Dave, I'm curious because, you know, I have a lot of young families.
Yeah.
In my congregation. I tend to be kind of, Nicole and I tend to be like the older aunt and uncle of our church. It's funny, just, you know, and so just kids, man, like we're like a baby factory this last year, babies being born all over the place. Nice. So you are a real family with real little kids.
Yes.
How do you and Stephanie deal with this situation? What are you learning just dealing with this situation, being a real family with real little kids in the midst of just everything being thrown up in the air?
Oh yeah. Well, first off, can you hear Ree screaming in the background right now?
I could hear a little bit. And so I'm like, this is a perfect time to ask, because that's the realness of it, man.
I tried muting it at one point, but yeah, no, you're right. That's life right now. It's, you know, I'll try to record sermons and I'll hear him in the background run back and forth, or I'll be in a meeting and you hear him there. So yeah, there's definitely that challenge. You know, I was joking with one of my neighbors. I'm like, oh man, I wish this could have happened 7 years in the future, right? If it happened 7 years in the future, we could be lighting our Jesus candle and we could be talking about emotions and all of our feelings. It'd be great, right? I mean, that's the ideal situation. And I think initially for me, that was my thought, right? It was the initial, oh my goodness, this is going to be really, really difficult. Why now? Why couldn't it be 10 years in the future and we could sit around and binge watch Marvel movies together? You know, I mean, honestly. And then, you know, my whole mentality has really shifted over the past couple of weeks, just realizing what you were saying, leaning into the moment. It's maybe it wasn't the ideal that I wanted early on, but it's my situation right now. And I mean, how beautiful is it to have extra time at home with my family in the whole chaos and the messiness of it? Cause I finished watching Picard recently, the new Star Trek. And he has this line that he says, that Patrick Stewart says, that's, I've just been thinking about ever since. He says, I let my perfect become the enemy of my good. And so often in life, we aspire for the perfect, but there's no such thing as perfect. And I think initially with this, I wanted the perfect scenario, kids to be this age, and then this will be great, and I'll really grow, and I'll be able to read more books. And yeah, all that's gone out the window. I'm barely reading right now. I mean, free time, silence. I go and weed my garden to get some silence, which is great. But it's just, it's realizing this moment is a precious gift that I have, and I'm not going to get it back. And it's perfect the way it is.
Thanks for sharing that idea of, you know, not letting that thing that you want or that ideal that you have in your head, not letting that become the enemy of what you have, of the good thing that's before you. Man, that preaches to all of us right now in this moment, you know, because there's probably some other ideal in very many moments of our week that we'd like to have, wish that were different. And I don't want that ideal in my head to be the enemy of what's right before me.
Yeah.
Discovering the goodness that's right there in the midst of that moment.
You'll miss the life that's right there.
Because
it's all right there if you're aware of it. Yeah. And if you allow yourself to be in it.
Yeah. Wow, that's good.
Well, what I don't even know how long we've been going for. I'm not should we do one more kind of
one more. Let's
closing,
wrap right? it up.
Okay. Yeah. So oh man, all I have for you are like a whole bunch of deep questions. I was writing these down. I'm like, I hope Kurt's in a deep mood right now. How about this one? Okay, so what do you think is the biggest question that followers of Jesus should be asking right now at this point in time?
Should I watch Tiger King or not?
I see the headlines, no idea what it is. So.
I haven't watched it, man. I've only seen the headlines. Yeah. Oh, that's a good question. Well, from my own heart, I think a question that I found myself asking, and it's come out in some of the things that we've talked about already, is, God, what do you have for me to lean into today? Mm-hmm. And especially, what is that awkward thing that you want me to lean into today? Because I've discovered over and over again in my life that some of the best transformation and growth and things that I can celebrate that have happened in my life is because I chose to lean into something that was awkward, something that didn't feel natural, something that I probably would have chosen not to do had I not made the deliberate choice to lean into it. So every day, just trying to ask that question, Jesus, what do you have for me to lean into today that feels a little awkward, that I'd rather not, but I'm going to do it anyways. And I'm going to do it with a level of gratitude and an awareness of discovery, because I believe there's something that's in here for me. So
that's good.
Yeah,
that's good. Not a comfortable question.
Yeah, no. One of my last things I'd love to ask you is, so one of my favorite pastors, writers, authors, Frederick Buechner, pastored in New York City for a while.
Yeah.
So famous quote of his, here's the world, beautiful and terrible things will happen.
Yes.
Do not be afraid.
Love that quote.
Do not be afraid. So when you think about that, you know, do not be afraid. I'm just kind of curious, you know, a moment of pastoral vulnerability from you to our people who are engaging with this. What do you get afraid of? And how is God meeting you in the midst of that?
All right. So me and Kurt went through this same, you went through the church plant through the district in New Jersey.
Yep.
Yeah. So we went through the same church planting growth track or seminar. I don't know what, I forget what they called it, what church name they gave it. But they asked me that very same question, right? What are you most afraid of? And for some reason this week, I've been thinking about that question quite a bit. I have no idea why, but it's been on my mind a lot. Here's the answer that I gave them, and I'll give you the answer. I said, the thing I'm most afraid of is not hearing God's voice. And I have no idea why that's been coming to the surface recently. But like I said, this whole week, I've just been thinking quite a bit about it. And I think it has to do, you know, maybe a bit with just sort of, I'm in this moment right now, right? I mean, you pastoring, you probably feel the same way. You had all these plans, you had your series lined up. And it's a sort of control. You know, for me, I like to plan my sermons a couple of months out. Well, all the things that I had planned are out the window now because they're not as relevant as talking about what's right in front of us. Because I think it's important for us to sort through together what are we thinking through. And I guess in the midst of all of it is just this desire I have to keep following God for myself. And for Awaken, but just, I don't know, maybe there's this fear of, man, what if I hear wrong? Or what if I take a wrong turn? You know, what if I lead the church down the wrong road? So yeah, that's sort of what I've been wrestling with a bit over the past week.
Yeah, I can relate to that. And I think in a lot of ways, probably all of us can relate to that, just that, especially those of us who do like to plan and prepare and have things kind of under our belt moving into the future. And it's hard, you know, it's hard not being able to do that and realizing you got to let that go. And much like you, I'm trying to discover the beauty and just taking one day and one week at a time. So yeah, thanks for sharing that. Yeah.
Good questions.
Yeah. Well, we're, you know, Dave, certainly, you know, all of us out here in the middle of America, you know, we're the no coast people out here, but, you know, our hearts and prayers are with all of you. Not only Dave, with you and your family, but, the Awaken family. And we hope that, in all of this, you are discovering God doing some beautiful things in your midst, you know, even allowing to coexist with all of that, the tragedies that are there, you know. Grace and peace to you guys as you keep walking the road ahead of you.
Thank you. Yeah, we appreciate your prayers, and we'll take all of them. But I mean, the same for you guys. This is your reality as well, and maybe it's not as, you know, as large, not as many people are as, you know, impacted as here, but you're still facing it. And there's people that are still being affected, and people have passed away from the virus where you are, and that's not to be taken lightly. So we send our prayers, our well wishes, and we pray that God's presence would be with you all in the midst of this time as well.
Yeah, and it's good for us. It's good for us just to hear from you guys, I think, because even as we think about things, you know, kind of moving this way, you know, you wonder like, how will things move across the country? You know, to know that there's people who have walked this path, you know, before us, and, you know, they're discovering God's grace and goodness and presence in the midst of it too. We can keep having that same outlook.
Yeah. Well, this has been a lot of fun. I hope you all have enjoyed this. I hope this gave you some questions to ask, some things to think about, some encouragement, some ways to experience or see God's work right where you are right now. And I would just say my prayer for all of you is that you would lean into the moments, that you would lean into this time, that you would slow down, embrace the boredom, embrace the awkwardness of the moment, any of the uncomfortableness of it, And as you do, may you see the resurrected Christ meeting you where you are, bringing healing and comfort, life and joy. So grace and peace to you all.
That's my friend Dave right there.
I love you, Kurt.
Love you too.
This has been fun.
It's been a good time. Blessings to you and your family.
Yes, same to you.
Take it easy.
Yeah.